This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's a new year, but what will that mean for old rivalries? Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for tuning in. Happy New Year. It's 2024. One of the things that we're going to be looking at today is the relationship between the world's largest economies, the United States and China, which dominated the news agenda in 2023. We wanted to take a look at those ups and downs and see where the relationship may go this year. It's a rivalry that is shaping the present and the future of many of our lives. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson has been looking at some of the events of the past year.
With two superpowers vying to stamp their authority over geopolitics and the global economy, any misstep, however small, can blow up into a major diplomatic row. And after the tariffs and sanctions of the Trump administration, it was hoped President Biden would forge a smoother path. But restrictions on sales of advanced semiconductors at the end of 2022 set the tone for a rocky year. Then in February, the US military shot down what it said was a Chinese spy balloon. Secretary of State Antony Blinken cancelled a visit to Beijing as a result of the fallout. Surely things could only look up from here. Well, there was cautious optimism in July as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen visited Beijing for face-to-face talks with Chinese financial officials.
President Biden and I do not see the relationship between the US and China through the frame of great power conflict. We believe that the world is big enough for both of our countries to thrive.
But further attempts to smooth relations hit the buffers. On a trip to China, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo told reporters that US companies complained China had become uninvestable, pointing to fines, raids, and other actions against firms that made it too risky to do business. A few months later, China launched an investigation into iPhone maker Foxconn and announced further restrictions on the export of two key materials used to make computer chips. The US response? Tighter export controls on high-tech AI chips, an extension of an earlier policy, as the BBC's North America business correspondent Erin Delmore explained.
We saw the Commerce Department in October 2022 restrict exports of some of these high-powered chips to China. And now the Commerce Department says this is an attempt to close some of those loopholes that we've seen after the department enacted export controls last year. The goal is to keep China from receiving some of these high-powered, cutting-edge U.S. technologies because the fear is that China can use it to strengthen its own military.
It was against this rather tense backdrop that President Biden and China's President Xi met last month in San Francisco. K.D. Russ, professor and chair of economics at the University of California, Davis, saw the economic state of each country as a possible chance to enact a thaw in relations.
China's still suffering from a hangover after an economic hangover, after the prolonged lockdowns, and is really looking for ways to stimulate their economy. The U.S. is overheating to some degree. I mean, we actually nearly hit China's own growth target ourselves with 4.9% growth. I think there are some opportunities here for both countries.
And the consensus was that the San Francisco talks went pretty well, although President Biden did sour things slightly.
I mean, he's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is a communist country that is based on...
Not perhaps the most tactful way to end a year of delicately balanced diplomacy. I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
A hint at a more positive 2024 came from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in December. Speaking at a US-China Business Council event in Washington, she said better communication was the goal.
We seek not to resolve all our disagreements nor avoid all shocks, because this is in no way realistic. But we aim to make our communication resilient so that when we disagree, when shocks occur, we prevent misunderstanding from leading to escalation and causing harm.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. To help me assess what might lie ahead, I spoke to Dan Wong, chief economist at China's Hang Seng Bank in Shanghai. She's quite pessimistic, but agrees with Janet Yellen that communication is the key.
The relationship is improving, but still not ideal. For many of the business investors, the relationship is basically beyond salvation. There is very little trust between the business communities and between the two governments. But the good thing is the relationship seemed to be improving this year with the two top leaders meeting each other.
Do you think poor communication has been at the heart of 2023's rocky relationship?
I would say so. And when the communication channel between all levels of government are cut to the bare minimum, then there is a high chance of miscalculation. The decoupling in the high-tech sector is quite obvious. And to me, it is more damaging than the high-tech decoupling in the semiconductor industry. Because when a big company like Dell or Apple decide to relocate more of their production lines away from China, they would bring more suppliers for those companies also away to that new destination, be it Mexico or India. So for China, now the new strategy is to prioritize economic security, and the government is subsidizing all kinds of emerging industries, and that's at the cost of services and consumption.
Now, U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said that businesses were telling her earlier in the year that China was uninvestable due to the fines, raids and other actions against firms. What's your view on that?
I don't think that China is uninvestable. Even in the short term, China is still a good destination for many of the industries. And if you're in, say, the consumer sector, one way or another, you will end up in China. For Raimondo's comments, I think she's more referring to the short-term tension, because for many of the foreign investors, they feel very uncomfortable now operating in China. The regulations are way more stringent than before. On top of that, the privilege that foreign investors used to get started to dissipate, and they are now feel as pretty much as uncomfortable as the domestic private small companies in China.
I wanted to ask about Taiwan. It's obviously a big ongoing issue. China sees self-rule Taiwan as a breakaway province that will eventually be under Beijing control. How do we see that playing out in 2024?
My guess is the status quo. If Hong Kong situation is any indication, even if China has done something to bring Taiwan back, how to incorporate in Chinese economy will be a bigger problem. There has to be much more success in Hong Kong before China can really claim that it can do a successful takeover of Taiwan. So I think the threat is actually quite low.
Well, Dan, we might come back to you and, ask you whether or not your predictions panned out for 2024. Well, Dan Wong, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.